Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, everyone? This is episode 12, Ease Part 2.
Yeah, we have a lot of great music to show you. 2 weeks ago, or maybe, what is it, 3 weeks now?
I think it might have been about 3 weeks
ago. Yeah, it's about 3 weeks ago we did our Ease Part 1, and in that episode we only played music from the first two Ease games. And now we're going to do from a lot more. And
Pretty much like almost every other game in the Ease series, for the most part. The reason why we just did the first two on our Ease Part 1 is because they're considered the most... I think they are the best two Ease soundtracks in the series, and they're just the most famous, the most classic, and they're so dense. So it really kind of warranted just focusing on those two for the first episode. But this one will be fun because we'll be able to kind of go chronologically starting from the third game all the way to the most recent Ease game. So should be a good time.
Yeah, one thing that really surprised me as I was listening to the music this week is you mentioned before that there's like an Ease sound or like that... The music from the first two games was so influential,
mm-hmm.
but it really was, especially for the music for later Ease games.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, but it's not really so much that I think that the composers of those games were going for Yuzo Koshiro and who was the other one?
Miko Ishikawa.
Yeah, I don't think they were necessarily going for, like, the little... quirks that you noticed,
uh-huh.
they weren't necessarily going for that. That might have just been their own compositional
mm-hmm.
style.
Mm-hmm.
But in these later games, they take that and they run with that
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it's kind of like they use those first two soundtracks as like the Bible of like, oh, we have mm-hmm. to now, this is Ease music, we have to do this.
It kind of reminds me of how like in modern Mario games, sometimes they use a lot of like Koji Kondo style chords and melodies and
stuff.
Well,
I mean, I really can't blame the later composers for doing that because, I mean, part of the, and this is kind of well known for the Ease series, it's like pretty much like the most loved thing about the series is the music.
Yeah.
There's so many reviews that you watch or that I've seen where people talk about and like, yeah, game, it's pretty standard, doesn't seem like, but the music is just amazing. Like it's, I mm-hmm. think it's generally considered the best part of the games.
Well, and I think what's interesting about the Ease music is it's hard to say what makes it sound that
mm-hmm.
way because it's really, to me, it feels like video game music.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
It's the first thing that would come to my mind when I'm thinking of video game music. Very sort of 80s driving bass. Like, I don't
mm-hmm.
know. It just sounds like Street Fighter, Mega Man, Castlevania.
Yeah.
Just like generic like video game franchises. But it's like they really stick to what they're doing consistently despite the instrumentation, despite
exactly.
the limitations of whatever system
they're
on.
For
it's
the PC,
it's really faithful to the
original
sound.
For the PC 88 there were 6 channels. I think I may have said something slightly wrong in the first episode. There's actually 3 FM synth channels and I think 3 more kind of 8-bit sounding channels. But anyway, the track you heard we just played in with was called Introduction from Ease 3, Wanderers from Ease. And the version that we're playing today of that game is actually the Genesis version, which is kind of cool because it sounds very similar to the classic
1 and 2 Ease. Similar bass sounds.
Yeah, because the chip, the Yamaha chip that was in the PC-88 was almost identical to the one that's in the Genesis. So it's kind of cool. I'm glad we're picking the Genesis version because it sounds pretty much the same, but there's a couple differences and some new instruments and some more kind of familiar sounding things that we're used to hearing from the Genesis. But anyway, so that's the first game we're going to be playing music from today. The Genesis version came out in 91. I think it also was ported to the SNES, I believe.
Yeah, it was also on the SNES.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little bit about the game. I think the graphics were different,
mm-hmm.
like
they
considerably
were.
On those two games, and the sounds were different.
Mm-hmm.
But one little thing, when I was going through the playlist, one of the tracks, you had like a Genesis version, and I accidentally was listening to the SNES version.
Ah, I see.
And I want to find it to show it to you, because
okay.
it's the absolute worst example of intonation ever.
That's
that I've
so
ever
funny.
Heard. Like we've complained earlier in the podcast about like, oh, Mega Man X or other things where it's like, ooh, it has sort of a, but this was really, really bad.
Man.
It's the worst example I've ever heard.
Yeah, after we finish this, you'll have to show that to me. I'm glad I didn't pick that version, but The original did come out for the PC-88, just like the first two, and I think that came out in like 88, so I think that might have been the same year as the second one. But anyway, this was composed by Miko Ishikawa, the classic Ys composer who helped out Yu Tsukishiro with Ys 1 and 2. But the Genesis version, there might have been another version too, but there were a few additional tracks that were composed by Masaki Kawai, and the one we just heard, Introduction, was actually one of his tracks. So, most of the other tracks we're going to be playing from here on out are actually Miko Ishikawa's. So I guess we'll
It's interesting, though. That's just a little thing. That's a completely different composer, but it mm-hmm. sounds so identical to other E's, like landing on the ninth.
Yeah,
as
far as the melodic rhythmically, content. But what's actually a little bit different is I guess, the feel of the more kind of a Latin feel.
Yeah, like the rhythm yeah. of those like arpeggios.
Exactly. So for me, it wasn't a surprise that it was a different composer, but it's mm-hmm. definitely, if he was working with Miko, it's, you know, or whether or not he definitely was following the kind of the style of the first two games. So we're going to play the next track from Ys 3. This is called Winged Boy. And this, the interesting thing, this is the first example today of kind of not quite of a straight remix, but a rethinking of a Ys 1 track. We actually, last time I said it was unused from Ys 2. It actually, I found out this week that it was actually unused from Ys 1. mm-hmm. It was called the theme of Adoru. It's also known as the theme of Adol. And Adol, Kristen, is the main character of the Ys series.
Didn't they change the main melody slightly?
Yep. So that's what I was going to say is this song called Winged Boy from 3, it's really, really heavily modeled on that bass, on that old theme of Adoru or theme of Adol, but they have slightly a different melody in the A section and the B section, but the chords, the feel is very similar. So here's Winged Boy. Winged Boy from Ys 3, composed by Miko Ishikawa. Now that's classic Ys right there. And I was kind of going crazy a little bit this week when I was coming up this playlist because I didn't know that they did this as far as like taking that song and slightly changing it. So I was like, wait a second, it sounds so familiar, but it's a little bit different. Yeah, so this is the first variation on theme of Adoru, theme of Adol that we're going to play today. But what's cool is actually you're going to hear it now is the song changes up the second time before looping back to the third time, which is kind of cool sometimes.
Yeah,
it's
kind
of a cool
that.
Effect where it kind of makes it's really not that long of a loop, but it makes it feel like a longer song mm-hmm. than it is. It's kind of a nice effect.
Yeah, I've noticed
it adds those shimmering arpeggiated colors.
Yeah, a lot of these games do that where like each time it goes through it sort of builds up the instrumentation.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
there. Also, I really like it makes use of the different contrasting sections
totally.
Changes in the rhythmic feel for like the rhythm section for the bass and drums.
Exactly. Yeah, that's another staple of the Ys series is really effective contrasting sections. But I really, those added shimmering arpeggiated colors are really, I don't know, just really kind of do a good job of varying that final section up, and they kind of extend that final section before looping back. And some really striking stereo panning I noticed in those arpeggiated colors, mm-hmm. which is always kind of interesting to hear because, like we said earlier, most of the time you don't really listen to the video game music on headphones, you're just listening to it on your TV. But, so it's kind of cool to hear that effect. So the next track from this game we're going to play is called Ruins of Elverns. Here we go.
Thank you.
Ruins of Ilverns from Ys 3. And another thing I researched this week is I actually found out which specific tracks from Ys 1 and 2 were composed by Yuzo Koshiro versus Miko Ishikawa. And now that I kind of know which specific tracks she composed, I can really hear her compositional style coming through in this song. She composed a lot of the slower ones, like Tender People, So Much for Today. She actually did the one of your favorites last time, Subterranean Canal. Mm-hmm. But this track is really unique. It kind of can't really decide what it wants to be. It's kind of spastic in that way. It goes from this rocking feel to scary to like classical to like happy poppy, and then back and forth between all the feels.
Yeah, I completely agree. Really like in the beginning section, it has a great lead instrument with just this incredibly demonic sounding melody.
Yeah.
And like you said, it mixes elements of like pop music, both in the chords and melodically, with like classical music. And that's another thing that like Ys music does that all the time. It's like they'll do little suspensions or things to make it feel like classical, mm-hmm. but then they'll throw in these chord progressions that just feel like cliche pop music. It's really mm-hmm. interesting how
it's
they mix the two together.
It's such a great combination. Yeah, it's really genius, and they did that a lot in this series, definitely.
Also, it does that thing that we were mentioning last time where it has like the false ending where it resolves to major and then goes back to minor.
Exactly, yeah. That's such a... it's weird. I've never heard that technique used in any other video game music before.
That's what's so funny also, mm-hmm. is it's like... That's another thing that's almost like a trademark that is used in all this music. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like I don't know why they're doing it, because I think like the people that are playing the games, they probably like the music, but I don't think they're thinking about it to that degree.
But maybe subconsciously, all these things we're talking about, all these tools we're talking about, each one maybe most people aren't noticing, but when you hear all of them together, it feels like classic Ys music, you know? So it maybe on a subconscious level, it is affecting people. But really nice classical influence.
What's the next one?
Song. The next song, oh, fine, I guess you want to move on to the next song, don't you? The next one is called Burning Fight.
Was Burning Fight, and this one I really like. It has that really catchy like shuffle feel, and
yeah,
that opening lick is like da-ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's really catchy, mm-hmm. and one of my favorite things about this is like the inner voice is very melodic, and because it starts off playing the melody, but then it switches instruments, and then the instrument that was lower ends up playing the melody. But it's so melodic because it's doing that arpeggiation, but it also has this like counter melody type of movement. And what I really like about it is, this another thing about Ys tracks is like sometimes the chords aren't the most original, mm-hmm. like they reuse chord progressions a lot,
yeah,
but the way that it's arranged and the way that it's playing, like it's not just playing sustained chords, it's playing these very sort of complicated arpeggios, mm-hmm. where even though they have more channels than say in NES, they're really being smart about what notes they're choosing to play at what time.
Yeah, because I got this player called the Hoot Player, and it's like an emulator of the PZ88 kind of hardware, and you can see all the tracks there and like the waveforms that they're making. And it's so effective because for most of the song, there'll be like these couple instruments that aren't being used at all. And they'll just be using them for like a bridge section. So that it's really interesting. It's like they're not always using all six tracks at all the
right.
time. But I'm glad that you mentioned that about the kind of underneath counter melody stuff, because I noticed that too with this song and kind of this whole soundtrack. I feel like in general, the main melodies aren't quite as catchy or memorable as the first two games. But what's really effective is the underneath colors. The kind of supporting material is almost as important as the main melodies in this game.
I'd say almost, it's more so.
In some ways more important, yeah.
The point of the music really in video games, we like it for its melodic content, but really I feel the point of video game music is to set the tone. It's to make you feel a certain way and give you like an internal like pulse and sense of like, oh, I have to do this now, and like get you in the right mindset.
Totally.
And those sort of rhythmic sort of
those driving,
supporting arpeggios,
and in
those
some
colors.
Way the line gets blurred with this song specifically, but with this whole soundtrack, because you have those two interacting melodies. Sometimes you don't know which one is more important, and it's almost like they're both equal in a way.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because it makes you wonder what's more the melody. Mm-hmm. I call it the counter melody because it's more fast moving and all over the place. But yet also, since that melody is underneath, it could maybe be sort of like a moving, it's about the way you think about it.
Yep, totally. Well, we're going to go to our last track from Ys 3 today. This one is called My Dear Elena. This is My Dear Elena from Ys 3. The thing I really notice off the bat about this one, which is really effective, is the nice call and response from the melody to the bass. It goes dun 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 dun, like the bass kind of, you know, they fill in the holes with each other. And the other thing is in that B section that we heard, the harmony is very far below the melody. It's like over an octave below, and which makes it, again, really noticeable. And it's kind of that blurring of the line where what is really more important, you know? And when you listen to it on headphones, that melody is really hard panned to the left. And it makes the harmony stand out. But again, you can distinctly hear both lines. It's a really nice effect.
Oh, yeah.
And in general, this piece really sets a good mood, kind of like what you're talking about before. It definitely gets the job done as far as great RPG music. Setting the mood would be really effective in a game. It's in some ways maybe the soundtrack, that's maybe the most impressive thing about it, is how well it sets the mood for the game.
I would definitely agree. I really like how sparse the instrumentation is, like it's not very all out, and the melody has sort of an uneasy, uncertain quality. It almost sounds like stubborn to me.
If I were to think
of it in an orchestral standpoint, I would think of it being played by like a baritone horn or a euphonium, and it—I don't know—it just has a boom, 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 ba da dum. Like it's sort of a little bit wandering. It doesn't resolve nicely the main short melody.
Yep.
I don't know. I really like it. It feels a little bit sort of like a part in the game. I've never played this game, but it feels at a point where maybe there's some sort of conflict between characters through like dialogue, not necessarily action, but a little bit of like a, you're not allowed to cross this bridge.
Or, I mean, it's called My Dear Elena, so maybe it's you're trying to get this girl and she's like, you know, maybe it's related to that. Maybe some problems in a relationship or something. But anyway, I would say that in general, as far as the melodic content, there's no question that this game isn't quite as well composed as the first two games. But it's definitely a little bit of a departure. It still feels classic Ys, really fits the vibe of the game. Not that I haven't played it either, but I can just, you know, it makes me kind of just want to play the game just based on the music. But really, I would say that it carries the torch well, and later soundtracks would definitely, I feel like, almost do more justice to the first two games than this one. But this one is definitely a very, very unique soundtrack. I think it's a pretty good one. So with that being said, we're going to move on to our next game. And this game, there were two versions of this game that got released. This is Ys 4. There was one version called Ease 4 Dawn of Ease, and that's not the version we're actually going to be playing music from today. That came out, I think, for the PC Engine. The version we're playing is called Ease 4 Mask of the Sun, and that came out for the Super Famicom, that's Super Nintendo. And they're slightly different games, pretty much the same game, slightly different plots. For the most part, the exact same music. There is a few additional tracks in Mask of Sun, the version that we're playing, mm-hmm. that isn't in the PC Engine version. And obviously, the PC Engine version sounds way better with the instruments and stuff. Right. The reason I picked this one is because I have a feeling it's slightly lesser appreciated. I mean, maybe not quite listened to as much as the other version.
The Super Famicom version?
Correct. And also, I just... For me personally, when I hear... this music for the first time and I hear it on like a Genesis or a Super Nintendo, it's really one of the advantages of 8 and 16-bit music is the melodies and the chords and everything is really clear and pops out at you. You can hear all the parts versus something like the PC Engine with more reverb and more like digital effects. It's kind of harder to really pick out all the parts the first time you hear it. So I just thought that for the first time, if there's someone who hasn't heard this music before, I personally think that it's better to hear this the first time on something like the SNES. And then you can always go and listen to the more kind of modern version of it. But anyway, with that being said, the first track from this game is called Dawn of Ease. Here we go. This is Dawn of Ease from Ease 4 Mask of the Sun. This game was composed by lots of people. Yoshiaki Kobutera, Masanori Hikichi, Miyoki Takeoka, Tomohiro Endo, Hiru Tenjenji, and Ai Naotsuki. Man, that was kind
of
stressful.
I really like some of the drum fills there. What's going on there rhythmically? Yeah. It really sounds like a drum set.
It really does. Yeah, the thing that I noticed first about this game, or I mean about this track, is there's nice modulation, interesting chord choices throughout, which again definitely. Kind of helps with the contrasting sections. There's lots of different modulation happening. But this would really fit right at home in Street Fighter 2 in some ways, some of this stuff.
Oh yeah, I feel there's a lot of tracks from mm-hmm. some of these SNES type of easy games that I definitely think like, gosh, this is just... pretty much Street Fighter, which is one of the reasons why I said that Ease music just sounds like video game music to
totally
me, because it reminds me of old Metroid games, Mega Man, Castlevania.
Yeah, but
what's
interesting, this track has a really, some of these tracks as well have a really long length of the loop. It's about 1:40 before it actually loops back, so really long form. And the melody kind of takes itself pretty seriously, whereas a lot of the melodies in this game do. Which is kind of interesting because it has more of like a rock kind of feel, but the melodies are not just kind of phoning it in, which is kind of a nice combination. So we're going to move on. This next track is called, the title track of this game, because this game is called Ease 4 Mask of the Sun. This is Mask of the Sun. We'll be right back.
This is Mask of the Sun. And in that beginning section, I really like what's happening in the drums there and rhythmically with some of like the chords that were happening in the beginning, and it like modulates down when the main melody comes in. There's a lot of modulation that happens in
Speaking of modulation, if we just kind of wait here, there's something really powerful that's coming up very soon.
Right.
But it has slightly more basic chords. Here it is. Key change. How many times in this kind of era do we hear a key change in a song? It's really powerful.
It's very strange in this area era in video game music to have that.
So anyway,
but that's what I was saying, that rhythm. It's really cool.
Exactly.
I like some notes are accented, and I don't know. I think it's really cool.
It is a really, really catchy rhythm. But anyway, yeah, there's that key change there, which is effective. But slightly more basic chords than the first track we played. Much more reminiscent of, I guess you'd say, maybe classic ease as far as the chord choices. Really good variety in instruments. Again, contrasting sections.
Right.
It's a really effective piece. So now we're going to move on to definitely the most unique track from this game, and one of the most unique tracks of the day. Doesn't really sound anything like Ease music, honestly, but it's a really cool track. It really struck me the first time I heard it. This is Kaznan Fortress from Ease 4. This is Kaznan Fortress. You probably noticed that little rhythmic ostinato is not in the same time signature as the rest of the song, which is one of the coolest things about this piece. Pretty much the cool thing about the piece. The rhythmic ostinato is pretty crazy. You could either consider it in 7, as far as the meter of it, or you can consider it in 4 and 3, or 4 and a fast 6. But however you think about it, it's not lining up with the rest of the song. So that fluctuation that happens, where it's constantly changing and lining up in a different spot each measure and eventually looping back, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool, and it's also very disorienting.
Yes.
It's like, it's incredibly groovy, but it's like, if you were playing this on an instrument, it would be kind of challenging to like think about it.
This is almost like... This is like a prog song. This is like the most like progressive Ease song, I think, of the day. What that does is it creates a perpetual kind of constant motion in this excitement. There's actually a really nice kind of guitar solo that happens later on, which, again, doesn't really sound... The guitar solo itself doesn't really sound that much like Ease. But what a brave choice and kind of a risky choice by making a song like this, because it has the possibility of getting very annoying and very old. I'm wondering how long you actually hear this in the game, if it's just a really short... you know, piece, or... But yeah, it has the kind of possibility to get kind of annoying, but...
It's really cool that they decided to do something, because I'm sure that was sort of hard to program back then, something...
Could have been. But yeah, that's Kaznan Fortress.
That's cool. What's the next track?
The next track is maybe my favorite of this game. It's very pretty. This is called Lisa. Thank you.
I really dig those, what I call them, Masato-esque inner voices, and the like twinkle that's sort of like arpeggiation, the
in the last section.
That's just great. And if you notice, that's actually panned. It goes back and forth to left and right.
And talk about a great kind of transition back to the beginning of the loop, like we talked a lot about last time. There it is right there.
Right. Also, one thing that I really like, in the part when the chords were descending, and the instrument would slide into the note. It would scoop into it.
Yes, so
I thought
effective.
That was really sick. Also, really like the rhythm of the melody and harmony in like the later section.
Yeah, this again is a pretty long loop. I think the length of this loop is 105. So again, longer than 8-bit stuff. But this is one of my favorite tracks. Very kind of unique melody and harmony. The A section is really melancholy and blue, very pretty. But for me, I'm not a big fan of when the flute comes in, like the third measure. Like the first two measures, I was hooked. This is really gorgeous. Then the flute comes in, and for me, it's a little bit random. It kind of stands out in a little bit of an odd way. For me personally, I think it takes a little bit of the momentum away from what was going to happen, because it's this really kind of sparse, melancholy feel. And the flute, for me, I'm not a huge fan of the flute, but other than that...
Yeah, well, I think one of the big things is I think it's a random instrument choice. I think it would have been done in a different instrument...
It may be slightly quieter, just more of the background, that would have been fine, but
because it's playing. It's not playing like a really melodic, essential thing, but it sort of takes over.
Exactly.
It steals all the volume.
And I guess... It might be just an issue of when it comes in. It literally comes in like 3 seconds into the song. You just get this like dun 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 dun. You're like, oh, that's pretty. And then this other thing comes in and kind of takes over. So maybe they just should have waited a few more measures to introduce that. But, who are we to say what they should have done? Yeah, really good underneath voices that fill the holes in this song. Good counterplay between interacting between the voices, which is really effective. The last track we're going to play from this game is our second variation on the classic theme of Adol or theme of Adoru.
We played earlier that song Winged Boy, which is based off of theme of Adoru, but I think that this changes the melody again.
It does.
It's a completely different melody. It's taking those chords again, but... So maybe it's like a trademark with like the E series where they like to harken back to this theme, but it's like maybe you're just supposed to feel that the chords are similar and then the melody changes.
It's so cool that they did that. They could have just completely taken the song and just remixed it, which is what most games would have done. But it's just really cool that they came up with a new melody over it. It's just really brilliant. So anyway, this is called Theme of Adol 1993. Here we go.
And I think it's kind of ballsy that they sort of decided to almost like this song is mainly banked off of you knowing the other song. And the fact that the first one was an unused track, I don't know. I think it's really cool. It's really saying we really hope that that melody worked so that people get where it's going.
Exactly.
Also, I kind of like how it's like it's changing the melody, but it's the crucial notes still land on similar intervals. Like that one thing lands on the ninth.
Yeah.
And they still have that rhythmic, but it like the notes are slightly different.
The same E's rhythm on the bass. Yep. Same chords. And that C section, that's pretty much the same in all three of these versions. But yep. That is Theme of Adol 1993. We're now going to move on to Ease 5, and there was just one version of this game, luckily, but it was for the Super Famicom. It came out in 1995, so pretty late in the Super Famicom's life. This game is called Ease 5 Kefen, The Lost City of Sand. And this was composed by Miko Ishikawa, the classic composer that we've talked about, who helped with Ease 1 and 2 and also did Ease 3. Naoki Kaneda, Satoshi Arai, Atsuki Shirakawa, and Masuro Nakajima.
You almost pulled a Will Brueggemann there when you were reading the names.
I almost did, yeah. These are tough.
What's the first track that we're playing from this game?
The first track we're playing is called Lost Kingdom, Part 2.
This is one of my favorites of the day.
Yeah, this whole soundtrack is very unique. It's very ambient, very kind of ethereal, and these first two songs especially are almost the exact same type of feel. But anyway, here is Lost Kingdom, Part 2. This is Lost Kingdom Part 2 from Ease 5, and this reminds me a lot of James Horner, his style of his composition, the famous film composer.
Right.
One of the things he's kind of known for, his shtick, is he incorporates kind of Gaelic influence into all of his scores, and that's definitely what you hear here. And I don't know if it's the flute or if it's the melody or the chords, but definitely kind of slightly a little bit of Howard Shore as well. But
oh yeah,
and also it really reminds me of Final Fantasy music, especially the prelude. It kind of has that tinge to it.
Yeah, it definitely is very reminiscent of like a film score. I actually heard an orchestral version of this one, and that was also really pretty
cool.
But I don't know, I really just like how moody and emotional the intervals are at the very beginning with those strings, and it's sort of builds up a little bit as the song goes on, but it's still slightly sparse, and it's very
it's emotional.
It's very controlled and emotional.
Mm-hmm. It's very deep. And like we said, the second track we play has almost the exact same feel. So with that being said, here is the second track. This is Misty Lake.
That is Misty Lake from Ease 5. And this one I really like. Like many other Ease tracks, it uses sort of classical and pop music techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really interesting because they use like those old school, I guess, church sounding suspensions.
Yep.
But they also use modern sounding chord progressions, such as like incorporating the minor four and whatnot.
Yep. Again, this one just screams James Horner to me. It really reminds me of Titanic. It reminds me of My Heart Will Go On. I don't know if it's the flute. It's probably the flute and the melody. I mean, if you want to evoke a Gaelic feel, a flute is the best way to do that. And something about this melody, like we said, it's almost the exact same feel as the first track we played. But yeah, it just really reminds me of James Horner. But I don't particularly like when the strings go to double time. Dun, 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 dun. For me, it just... it's a little bit amateurish sounding. It takes kind of away some of the momentum I feel from it, but very, very pretty song. So now we're going to move on to our last track from Ease 5 today. And I love this track. This is my favorite track from the game. This is called Stormy Town. This is Stormy Town. I absolutely love this track. This is the quintessential Celtic feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Gaelic kind of a feel. And very medieval. That's exactly what it's going for. And the way how it does that is this song is in, it's not in a major key or a minor key. It's actually in Dorian mode. And when you have a song that's in a mode, it's almost like asking for that old kind of classic feel. And basically, what the Dorian mode is you could consider it like a minor, like a natural minor scale, except it has a raised sixth degree. That's mm-hmm. how I like to think of it. So, for example, this song would be in, if it's in D minor, the D is definitely the center of the key, but it has the B major instead of the B flat.
Right.
So that raised six, what you hear in the melody, that is what evokes kind of the Gaelic feel to me. And what's really effective is the B natural, like you said, over the implied D minor chord, but then the resolution from the B flat C to D major. So going from kind of the D minor to like the, you know, back to the D major with that Picardy
exactly.
third again, which is another thing that evokes like a really old school classic feel, but super, super catchy.
Yeah, one thing I like about it is it does feel like medieval, but the rhythm and the drive of it is very laid back.
Almost a reggae kind
of
rhythm.
It's very laid back. I picture like a fat guy with his fingers and his belt buckles like laying back. I don't know. It's really cool. I really like it. The first like few chords, I was just instantly captivated, and the melody is very infectious. But just those first few chords when it goes to, I don't remember the chords, but it goes the dun, dun, and then it goes to the five and then to the minor one again. It's
exactly.
very interesting because the chords they use are like that flat six, flat seven, mm-hmm. which you expect to resolve to the major one, but it mm-hmm. doesn't. It goes to the major five and then back to the minor one so it can loop the melody again. I just thought that was really clever.
It is really effective. Yeah, this whole game has a really nice kind of Gaelic medieval feel to it.
And it just kind of adventurous. It
yes.
feels like the start of a quest.
And there's
of.
Something swashbuckling about that Gaelic
yes,
feel.
Yes, exactly.
You know, when you use the flute, they use a lot of flute in ocarina, and that's, an ocarina is a staple of kind of Gaelic music. So this is the first, we're actually going to hear a lot more of that in these upcoming soundtracks that we're going to hear today, which is kind of interesting. But, so yep, that was Ys 5. We're now going to move on to a game called Ys the Ark of Napishtim. Very interesting word. Don't know what that means. But this came out in 2003. This was the first original Falcom release Ys game in 8 years. Because I believe I think Ys 4 and 5 were developed by a different company, I believe. But anyway, this game was composed by Wataru Ishibashi, Maiko Ishikawa, again, Hayato Sanoda. They worked on this game. And this game is a little bit on the cheesy side, but it has a few good tracks, I would say, and we're going to play a couple of them today. The first track is called Release of the Far West Ocean.
That's Release of the Far West Ocean, and I really like the juxtaposition of having the classical sounding chords at times with that really modern rock sound.
Modern instrumentation.
Yeah.
This is the first example today of that combination of the classic kind of Ys sounding melodies and chords with more modern rock instrumentation.
Well, yeah, and one thing that I really like, and I said this about a lot of these Ys tracks, but it has sort of an 80s sound to it, but mixed with that classical influence.
Mm-hmm.
And what I look at it as is it's like they're trying to, in some of the chords, harken back to maybe a more classical or, like you said, Celtic sound
mm-hmm.
or medieval sound because of the content in the game. But I think the composers look at video games like the means themselves of video games is sort of like a more modern piece of technology.
Rightly so.
So,
and this came up for the PlayStation 2 in 2003.
And it actually works with the composition where it's like you get a little bit of that modern influence to the games.
Exactly.
To the music, I mean.
Yeah, definitely a little on the cheesy side. This entire soundtrack is that way. We're only playing two tracks from the soundtrack. But
I even think this melody, it definitely sounds very easy.
Oh, it's like quintessential. Yep, in the chord progression too. This next song has almost the exact same chord progression again. But this is called Quatera Woods. Quatera Woods, even more cheesy, definitely almost an elevatory kind of level of cheese, but very, very pretty. The A melody is great. It's kind of, I guess I would say, cliche ease, and almost the same progression from the last track. Specifically, the compositional technique of this track is an E minor, so the chords, I guess, would be E minor, A minor 7, to D, to G. And what that's doing is it's setting up from the minor key to the relative major, getting to G. But then it goes right back to the minor again. So after that G, it goes to the B7, which would be the major 5 of the minor key. So back to E minor. So that's something you hear all the time. You hear it go to this major key and then go right to that 5-7, which is used all the time in this series. But yeah.
No, yeah, definitely. I really like that part with the chromatically descending bass note in like the middle section.
Yeah.
And going from like the major 1 to the 1-7 and then to the major 4 and then minor 4.
Exactly.
That's obviously cliche, but it works really well.
And oh, totally.
It's very cutesy and emotional to me, but one thing that I really like is the melody and harmony makes this almost sound like a cheesy pop song or like a cheesy pop duet.
Exactly.
That like a male and female singer would sing during the end credits of like a movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. It's very 80s. I like the open guitar chords at the end of the loop. This loop is about 2 minutes long, so it's very long. But, yep.
They use that exact progression in like modern Sonic games like all the time.
Oh, my gosh. Do they ever. All right, so we're going to move on to probably my favorite soundtrack of the day. This is a game called Ease Origin. And a lot of people haven't, fans of Ease haven't played this game. It came out for the PC in Japan, and I don't know if it was ever released for the PC over here. It may have been, but I know that they're, it's still to be announced as far as the Steam release of it. So that it still hasn't been released. It came out in 2006 originally in Japan. So maybe some people have played it, but it has an amazing, amazing soundtrack. This is composed by Miko Ishikawa, the Ease All-Star, Hayato Sonoda, Takahiro Unisuga, and Ryo Takashita. And like we said, this game came out for the PC in 2006, and it has probably so far, at least so far today, the best sounding modern instruments we've heard. So we're going to play the first track of this game of Ease Origin. This is called The Guidance of a White Tower.
Thank you.
So this is Guidance of a White Tower. Very, very pretty song. What do you think, Will? For me, the main melody has traces of aquatic ambience from Donkey Kong Country.
God damn it. Are you serious?
Is that what you're going to say?
I was just going to say that.
I think that's pretty cool.
I was
cool.
Like, there's no way he's going to say that. It sounds like...
Are you... Aww. Yeah. I'm glad we both thought of that. That means that...
That makes me upset.
It makes me happy. I feel like we both have a similar skill set. But similar tastes. But anyway... so far, the best instrument sounds we've heard today. Really, really nice piano, oboe, flute, strings. The strings crescendo on each chord of the song, which is really effective. And one thing really striking for me, the song's in C minor. The chord choices goes from C minor to the C minor over B flat, descending, and then further descends a half step to an A natural in the bass over C minor, which turns it into like an A diminished 7. Very briefly, and then goes to the F minor 7. So hearing that A natural to the A flat of the F minor 7 is very striking, and it's very interesting to the ear. It makes you pay attention. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing that I noticed that really stood out to me.
Well, one thing that I think is really effective about this piece, it's very long, but that part right there, where they're playing the octaves over like that one bass note or like that one chord, it's very interesting because it's not simple notes. It's landing on certain chromatic intervals that aren't necessarily in that chord, and it has sort of a very dark quality that's like undefined.
I know what you mean.
A little bit. And I think it's interesting that this late in the E series, they're still doing that Picardy third thing to the minor one.
Exactly.
Like, even this pretty song, I almost laughed out loud because they resolve and then they go back to the minor.
Maybe it's Miko. Maybe it's Miko Ishikawa, the fact that she's still involved in all these games. Maybe she's the one who's just like, you know what, guys, this needs this. Let me just add this.
I mean,
this
I thought
touch.
Originally they did that because since it was an RPG series and it needed to be like continuing, mm-hmm. and if you resolve to major, then you might need to have a completely new section where if you're going to loop it. But I just think it's such an emotional, beautiful piece, melodically and tonally. Yeah. I just think it's absolutely gorgeous. And
I agree.
The sound of the instruments, that they sound more realistic, mm-hmm. and of a higher caliber of quality.
It kind of brings the quality of the whole song up because of that. But so now we're going to move on to our track of the week. This is called Genesis Beyond the Beginning, and this is the opening version. I think there's another version of the song that plays maybe for the credits or the end of the game. But this is such an amazing track. It's really intense. It's the first track today that has this really nice combination. We're going to hear a bunch of these tracks actually today that has a violin and a distorted rock guitar. So it's this rock feel with this violin. And this is such an intense track. So let's just play it. This is Genesis Beyond the Beginning. Genesis Beyond the Beginning, opening version. Man, how far we've come, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really crazy to hear this and then listen to Ease One. It's really, we've come a long way, and it's just an amazing song. It's not just because of the modern instruments that make it great. It's the melody, the chords, everything about it. What I love about it is those really fast almost ska upbeats that they have with the choir. Ha, 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 ha. I mean, I haven't heard anything like that ever. Right. That's just so unique. And obviously the combination of the rock guitar and the violin, it's such a good marriage of those two sounds. And another cool thing is there you hear the 16th notes of the choir line up with the snare fills, which is so cool.
Well, this is by far my favorite track of the week, but because it has like that lush melody. It's not just, it's a lush melody being played on a very emotional, sweet instrument, a mm-hmm. violin, but it's with this, these rock instruments mm-hmm. and these very intense, like that rock guitar, there's like some serious shredding going on in this yeah. piece. And it also has a choir, like a female choir mm-hmm. doing those very, ha, 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 and it's yeah. very like fast and like ascending.
It's the most intense E song, I think, of right. all time.
And the drum set and the guitars, bass, it's very unique instrumentation.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it succeeds on every level, melodically yep. and just like getting you pumped up.
Yep.
It has a really awesome, like it has great rhythmic things
going on. In addition to that though, musically, if you just studied it as a piece of music, it gets a perfect 10. It's just crazy that this is from a video game. It's just really, really impressive. There's one track that I was struggling that I didn't know if this was a track of the week or there's a track coming up that has almost the same level of intensity, but we'll get to that. This next track I absolutely love as well. This is a very different kind of feel though. This is called Bonds with Companion. With Companion from E's Origin. And I just want to talk a little bit about the melody and the chords for this one. I have my little mini keyboard here. Again, we're coming back to the elements of the Gaelic style and the melody and chords. Part of the reason you hear that is the Picardy thirds that they use. But also, this is, again, in Dorian mode, similar to that track we heard before, which is kind of what gives it the Gaelic feel. But what's really interesting about this is the first three notes of the melody, the first few notes of the melody, I really think are effective. I said that this is in Dorian, but it's a little bit kind of ambiguous in the beginning because it's B-flat center. But what you hear in the beginning of the melody is it alternates between the one and the raised seventh. So this is what you hear in the beginning of the song, which is so striking, and it really makes it clear what the chords are, because the chords are, which definitely sounds like you're in a Dorian mode. But anyway, here's the melody of the opening. Oh, that's just so powerful. So you get that raised six in there right away to give the Dorian mode. You get a little bit of the harmonic minor. Then the second half, you get the melodic minor because you get that, or not the melodic minor, you get more of the natural sound because you get that natural seven from the... So is there something just really powerful about this song? And it's just... it definitely evokes an older style.
Right. I definitely agree with you on those first few notes because... Well, to me, the very first thing that struck me just immediately is the first, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 seconds of the song mm-hmm. are almost identical to this brand new Paul McCartney song that came out this year called My Valentine. And it's not just the chords, because those chords are used in a lot, but what the guitar is playing.
See,
the fact that it's an acoustic guitar and it's playing almost the same riff at the beginning of this Paul
That's interesting, because for me, this sounded like it was from WALL-E. This sounded, in the beginning of this, like it was right out of WALL-E. I don't know what it was, but when I first started this, I was like, oh my gosh. So that's interesting that we both had two very strong songs.
No, but I love that because it has those sort of chords and they're very like sensitive. But then when it has that sort of chromatic that it goes down to the it's very like ooh, it's a very kind of
and what's really
sound,
effective of that is
because
you get
beautiful.
The raised leading tone, but then the second half you get the natural seventh.
Well, right, and the chords are still playing what they were playing. Mm-hmm. So having that chromatic darker sound over that sort of pretty dreamy spacey type of chord, it has a very strange effect.
So we're going to move on now to another rocking track from Ys Origin. This one is called Silent Desert. Silent Desert from Ys Origin. And okay. One interesting thing for me is I know for a fact that this was made on the same keyboard that I have, either a Moog 8 or a Motif, because I recognize that instrument. It's almost like I consider it the Sonic-esque instrument for some reason. I recognize the drum sounds. I recognize the guitar sounds. But this is such a great track. The opening guitar riff is shredding, but it's incredibly classical. What's interesting is if you notice... there's a harpsichord that's actually doubling the guitar later on the song. Which, again, is that little subtle classical effect there.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, actually. Mm-hmm. To me, the intro of this just is completely screaming Castlevania 3.
Oh, jeez.
But, yeah, the fact that it has that harpsichord, it helps to give that classical sound because Ys music compositionally has a classical influence, but using a harpsichord, then it has that sort of influence
and
compositionally
also,
and in the instrumentation.
Exactly, and also, in addition to those two aspects, in the ornamentation, there's some ornamentations that the guitar does that's very classical, too. So there's lots of elements in here. It's a great combination of this modern rock with classical.
Yeah,
so you're right.
Really like when rock music is mixed with classical, and it's used a lot in, like, Muse. Like,
yes.
That they use that a lot.
It's really a perfect marriage. It's for something really natural about it. Those two forms really make sense together.
Well, because a lot of people consider them polar opposites, but
exactly.
It's almost like, I don't know, they really work. There's always, like, been that thing about, like, would Beethoven have liked rock and roll, and what would he have thought?
I think he would like Muse. But yeah, this track would fit right at home in a number of series. But we're going to move on now to a track called Tension. This is Tension from Ys Origin. Probably the cheesiest 80s song in the game, but that hook at the beginning is so catchy and groovy. Like, the first, like, 10 seconds of this track are just immediately hook you in. The rest of it is a little bit more cheesy, not quite as special, but still really good. Very jazzy for Ys, one of the most jazzy tracks we're going to play today. Kind of surprising in that way, but you hear that harpsichord again mixed with the 80s pop band, which is kind of a nice effect.
Yeah, part of it also sounds like Castlevania to me, again, in, like, the second section. But, like, when those strings come in, it definitely sounded like early 80s pop music when there was that tradition of having like full string ensembles to back up like a pop singer.
Yeah, definitely. So now we're going to move on. There's a kind of, I was struggling picking which one I wanted to do for this soundtrack, because this soundtrack features a few really, really well done remixes of classic Ease 1 and 2 songs. So I picked one of them. This is called Memory of Salmon, and this is based on Palace of Salmon from Ease 2. And one interesting thing, well, actually, why don't we just, we'll play the track, and then we'll talk about it. Memory of Salmon from Ease Origin. And one interesting thing is, for the second Ease game, it was composed by Yuzo Koshiro and Miko Ishikawa, but in addition, there were a few tracks that were composed by Hideya Nagata, and this was one of those tracks. He composed Palace of Salmon, which is one of the strongest tracks of that second game, so good ups to Hideya for this. And this is such a gorgeous remix of that song. It's so sparse, it makes the melody shine. You were talking about you really loved the choices they made.
Well, I just think it's such a brilliant, brilliant track to hearken back to with this really sweet, delicate instrumentation. And I guess a little thing that struck me is in the original version, it repeats the melody an octave higher. And they actually do that in this version too. But it works really well because in my opinion, the celeste, which is the instrument that's being played here, I think it's one of my favorite musical instruments. I think it's absolutely gorgeous. And it just... It's so just, when it plays something emotional, it just tugs at your heartstrings.
Oh yeah, this song is very nostalgic. It evokes like a long journey. It evokes like this epic, like you're looking back to the past of everything you've accomplished. It's really kind of nostalgic and sentimental.
It gives this melody so much more purpose, because in the original, it's just like an epic sort of rocking type of thing. But when it's put in this different context, it really brings out how beautiful that song was melodically.
Exactly.
And you would never stop to think about it. But it just goes to show that like they were really thinking about it melodically when they wrote it. And that's one of the reasons that song worked really well.
You're so right. That's a really good point. So that is it for Ease Origin. We're going to move on to our last soundtrack of the day. This is Ease 7. Ease Origin, I forgot to mention, was actually a prequel in the series. So this Ease 7 is the most recent Ease game. It came out in 2009. It was composed by Saki Momiyama, Masanori Osaki, Hayato Sanoto, and Takahiro Onisuga. And the first track we're going to play is called Innocent Primeval Breaker. Innocent Primeval Breaker. It's the second one that features that violin and guitar rock feel.
Yeah, what I really have noticed is I think that's a Japanese thing, because in a lot of modern Sonic games, they do that as well. And that sound, like, it's a very specific sound, not just using violins with it, but they're violins that don't have any reverb on them. Mm-hmm. They're very a dry sound.
Yes.
And then when they play, though, it's also in the same timbre with the same instrumentation. Like, modern Sonic games, that's pretty much their band. That's what all the songs sound like.
Yep.
Is they have that exact instrumentation. So it might just be like a Japanese sort of trend.
Yeah, it could be.
At the moment.
So yeah, very, very cool track. We're going to move on to another rocking track. This was the one I said earlier that I was fluctuating between this one maybe being the track of the week. If the other one we played was the most intense track, this is definitely the second most intense track of the day. This is an amazing track as well. This is called Vacant Interference. Love how it goes to that halftime feel there with those harmonized guitars.
Also, and the guitars go in octaves right there, which
yes,
is
they
another
do.
Great
as soon as it goes to halftime, oh my gosh. So powerful. This is about 150 length.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a song. It's not really a loop, but yeah.
I still think it's so awesome that they're still carrying over influence from the very early Ease music, like from the first two games. In terms of like the intervals and stuff that they land on, because I know a lot of series, like when they have later composers and later games, they just go and do their own thing.
Exactly.
But it's like they're still
this one is paying homage to the original source material, in addition to making it incredibly epic and rocking, the most like epic rocking thing I've ever heard from a video game.
And
honestly,
just to me, the rhythm section, what they're playing feels very classic Ease.
Exactly.
Also, it's like a translation.
If you were to take this as a MIDI and strip it down to the old instruments, it would be perfect. It would sound right at home. It's just, oh my gosh, so impressive. So we're getting short on time here. We have two more tracks today. This one is called Land of Fertility. Land of Fertility. It's another great Gaelic medieval track. The melody reminds me of Greensleeves or What Child Is This a little bit.
Right.
But that Latin reggae groove that comes in is such a cool addition.
Well, what I think is so interesting is it does have that Celtic sound. It does sound like an old English folk tune, but it's so clever to have like an extremely non-European sounding percussive beat. Like,
exactly.
It's just really a brilliant idea to take that melody and have a chicka chicka.
It makes it feel more modern. It's such a good hybrid, yeah. Very good choice of instruments. Very smooth transition back to the beginning of the loop. And again, once it's repeated, it's altered. The second time, it's not exactly the same, which makes it seem like it's longer. But so that is pretty much our podcast for today.
That wraps it up for this week. That was really fun. I think there's great music. And
a blast.
That was just a lot of fun getting to learn about that series. I'd never really heard too much about it. I mean, I knew of it, but mm-hmm. I never really had heard much of the music. I'd never played any of the games.
I am so
that
glad.
That was a really fun experience.
Yeah, I am so glad I discovered that. I'm absolutely blown away by the quality of music in this entire series. And all the composers, Falcom Sound Team JDK, that is pretty much the artist of every single Ease game that's ever come out. It's just Falcom Sound Team JDK, and each game obviously has is made up of different composers. But I just think that sound team is one of the most legendary teams of composers in all of video games. So yeah, thanks so much for tuning in, guys. We had a really good time.
Yeah, we really appreciate all your support on the blogs, the subscriptions, Twitter, all of that. We're going to look into getting a Facebook page. So mm-hmm. just another outlet for more communication yep. with the fans of this program, because
sure.
we really, all the feedback that we get on our show and just suggestions, we really like to use that, and we mm-hmm. actually have used that, and it's mm-hmm. it's very nice for us to get some of that feedback of people's opinions. So continue to do that, and again, we really appreciate your guys' support.
Yeah, definitely.
We're gonna play out with a track called Lost Harmony Among People. And just one thing, that just listen to the really gorgeous tonality of these instruments. Mm-hmm. And again, they have just really emotive chords. Like, there's just so much emotion in them. And they have like this sort of classic sounding Asian or Eastern sound mm-hmm. to the melody. It's really beautiful.
Liberal uses of nines as well. So it fits right at home in the Ease series. But next week, our topic is racing games. So that should be a good time.
I'm Will Brueggemann.
I am Carl Brueggemann.
I hope you guys enjoyed this. Have a nice week.
See ya.